You are going to listen to a lecture about pop songs. Listen and answer questions 1 to 8.
So, in today's lecture, we're going to be looking at the pop song and whether nowadays they follow such formulaic rules that they could actually be written by a computer. Basically, have we come to a time when a songwriter could feed a generic topic into a machine that can produce something akin to the songs we see in the charts these days? There are many schools of thought on this area. John Kovac at the University of Rochester claims that music is more about cultural influence and that songs need to be personally significant if they are to find the right audience. He talks about being at the cutting edge of culture, citing that hits of yesterday wouldn't be the hits of today. For example, if Michael Jackson had released his initial hits nowadays, they wouldn't have been a success simply because they wouldn't capture today's mood. In this way, making a good pop song is like catching a wave. You need the right conditions, you have to time it perfectly, and you need to embrace and work with nature's forces. In this way, music is seen as a social construct. While it might be easy to write a pop song, the real success comes in ensuring that a song resonates with a huge swathe of listeners. However, there is another school of thought which believes that computers and understanding patterns have a larger role in the music industry. Susan Schmidt-Horning of St. John's University is one of these people. She makes the case that people have actually reverse-engineered successful songs. In the same way that we can take a car apart and put it together again, so we can with a song. She looked at the case of rock and roll. Musicians would study certain instruments and recycle elements in newer songs. This can be done to many different extents. Perhaps the most common and obvious example is sampling. This is when musicians take a part of one song and put it in a newer song. James Brown, for example, has been sampled in over 900 songs. A famous example is Beyoncé's Crazy in Love, which samples a 70s song by the Shy Lights, Are You My Woman? This can cause issues. Some people think this is akin to robbery. However, most musicians credit and pay for the samples. The only issues come when the original credit is not given and permission isn't sought. Now, another point here is the fact that maybe we need to be looking further than simple reverse engineering, where we offer up the next Miley Cyrus or whoever to sing whatever is produced by this process. Another option is that the future of pop music will actually be a robot. Hatsune Miku is a humanoid persona voiced by a synthesizer. She can sing and perform, but she isn't human. Miku is a household name in Japan, where she supported Lady Gaga on tour, and she's probably good for investors too. She's not going to cause problems. She won't age or do something embarrassing or shocking for all her fans to see, and she can perform in two places at once. But let's not think that this means the music of the future is robotic. At present, we cannot definitively say whether robotic stars like Miku will become the norm or whether they are simply a trend which will be over as soon as it's begun. Even if this trend continues, humans still need involvement. In fact, Miku sources a lot of her music from fans. Perhaps she is, in fact, some kind of mirror enabling fans to express themselves more freely. A simple reflection of her fan base. This would indicate that music is in fact becoming more fragmented, crowdsourced, and for the people rather than the elite. In sum, although we may be able to create a digital recipe for a song, that doesn't mean they are going to taste good to the diverse audiences that exist nowadays. If we really want to create something, the recipe needs to focus on popularity, a magic ingredient that just can't be quantified.